You know, and but to be 100% here in the body means trusting life as it unfolds in front of you and being prepared to deal with whatever it brings you. You know, it's a great respect for life, this commitment to the body, and also listening to intuition. If we can listen to the intuition of the body, you can't go wrong. You know, if you ask your body, you know, how it likes a person or how it likes a job, it will tell you. You know, instantly, it'll tell you. Whether you listen, I don't know. Because I work with a lot of patients, and the easiest thing about intuition is teaching them how to tune in. All right, the hardest thing is getting them to act. Mm-hmm. I have patients who have the clearest revelations, the clearest dreams, and yet they decide not to act on it. All right, this is a big decision. When you have a revelation come in, to not act on it, this is a huge decision in your life, and people always do pay a price. And one thing that I've learned is that whenever I listen to my intuition, everything good happens. And when I don't listen to my intuition, only bad things happen. I mean, that's a cosmic law, I think. But you have to know what to trust. And I think what you brought up earlier, now how do you know what's an authentic intuition? How do you know to enroll in a course in a junior college based on a dream? I mean, could you imagine? You know, would you do that? I hope so. I hope so, but how do you know? I mean, that's what people are always asking me. And for that reason, that's why I've written the second book, was to answer that and to give people kind of a guide about how to know what to do and to have a strategy for having intuition at your fingertips. I think it's so important not to have to strain to find it and to have it right there when you need it. And when you're around the deathbed, and the deathbed is the time when your intuition comes into play. It's, I mean, there's no planning. You cannot plan around the deathbed. You have to go with your intuition. All right, and when you're at, you know, in that position, as I have been, as some of you know, for both of my parents, I've helped both of them die. And I've worked with a number of terminally ill patients, and it's just a great honor. And if ever you have the chance to do it, I hope you take it. To be around the deathbed, my intuition is what got me through. My dreams are what guided me through those kind of situations to help people that I love the most. All right, but at those times, you don't want to be struggling to find your intuition. You don't want to be questioning, is this accurate? Is this not accurate? In that moment, you don't want that. You need to know and you need to act. In those moments, you have to be quick at times. And so if you develop intuition, I ask myself, now how do I develop intuition? What do I do in my life? What do I teach my patients? And I came up with a kind of five-step strategy to do it. And it really works for me. And it's very profound. But also five steps are, you know, just an attempt to loosely define the mystery. There's no way to ever really define what I'm talking about in a certain sense. The five steps are just a structure for the mind to get into it. And they include listening to your dreams, learning how to remember, interpret, and act on dreams. So essential. Now, how many of you dream? Yeah, it's a very powerful thing if you do dream. And if you don't dream, you can remember. And part of remembering dreams is remembering who you are and remembering your spaciousness and the radiance of your spirit and how many things you can do beyond the mind. I mean, the dream space, every night you go to sleep and you dream and you're able to leave the body and travel. And I'll just tell a little Coleman story because this was so great.
Yeah, tell that.
He likes that. He wants to know. You know, he believes in his dreams so much. He's just such a powerful believer in dreams. And one night, he didn't have his dream journal by his bed, and he had this incredible dream. And so he wrote them down on the sheets. It was very wonderful, really. So listening to dreams, learning how to ask for inner guidance, learning how to go inside and discern that still inner voice and know when it's authentic, to know the signs to look for, to know when something resonates inside of you, to know the firsthand experience of intuition. Intuition is not of the mind, it's of experience. If you don't feel it, if something doesn't resonate inside of you, then it's not happening. Something must resonate. The information either comes through in a very neutral sense, comes through with compassion, or it comes through with a certain knowing, an instant knowing, body knowing that could come through as a transmission. All right, and so you need to know which ones are authentic. And you need to know what is an intuitive yes and what is an intuitive no. In the beginning, you have to begin to ask your intuition yes and no questions. Should I undergo this medical treatment? All right, let's say you have a question about it. You have to go in. If you get a yes, it feels like a certain something in your being. For me, a yes is a movement towards being pulled towards something. It's a quickening. It's an excitement. It's an energy. It's a sense that all is well inside of myself. Now that for me is a yes. Each person has to determine your own yes. And a no for me is a sinking feeling, or if I'm trying to effort or push through a brick wall and I'm trying to do something that isn't a natural feeling, or it could be a very negative a sense, like don't go here. All right, so you have to know yes or no. So you ask these questions, should I undergo chemotherapy? All right, my doctor's telling me to go to chemo, and yet there's something in me that doesn't feel right about it. Then you ask, should I go? And let's say something doesn't feel right about it, and then you get a yes. You ask the question, should I do chemo? And you get a yes. Then what do you do? You know, I always defer to my intuition. If something doesn't feel right in my body, I don't do it. I mean, that's just a general rule. And there's nobody who's going to convince me to do it. It must feel right to me before I go ahead. All right, and the way to know if it feels right is just to first learn this intuitive yes and intuitive no and practice it. Now, I've had so much experience over a lifetime in terms of listening to my intuition and practicing it. It is true that I was born with a certain sensitivity. Yeah, that is true. But through almost 2 decades, I've been practicing my intuition. I've been seeing where I'm accurate. I've been seeing where I'm off. I've worked a lot with remote viewing projects, which is a form of intuitively tuning in. And I've learned more from really where I've been off than when I've been on. And if you're first developing intuition, you have to practice. You have to get feedback from other people. If you pick up something, let's say with a friend, and you have an agreement you're going to talk about it, then you have to ask, is this accurate? And they will either say yes or no, and that's instant feedback. So that's a way you know if your intuition is correct. The only problem with that, and I experience this with patients, is sometimes I could be sitting with the patient, I can pick up something, I know it's accurate. I'm very sure it is. And yet I talk to the patient, they say, no, you're totally off. I say that, and at those moments, I just back off, and I just wait. It's not time. You don't push, you don't try and convince anybody of anything with intuition. Convincing people has no interest for me at all. You can just say something, and if they don't go for it, you just wait until the right moment. And my intuitive process is that I tune in, and particularly with patients, not in social situations. Now, people have this funny fantasy that, you know, I'm tuning into everything about them, and I know all these all these things, and I really have no interest in doing that. No, it doesn't interest me. It does interest me not to do that so I could have time off. You know, but people have these ideas that I have all this interest in tuning into them, and I don't. I have very clear boundaries, you know, really. Sometimes something will hit me very strongly, but usually, you know, if I'm in a social situation, I'm not tuning into anybody, you know, which is a wonderful thing for me. But my process is I tune in to get the information with patients, and then I tune in to see if it's appropriate to share it. And if it's not appropriate to share it, I'll keep something in forever. I will never tell them. If it's never the right moment, I will never say it. I mean, to me, learning about timing is everything. It's not about me tuning into you and getting an accurate piece of information. That is useless because it's about you. If I'm working with you, it's about when to say it to you and how. And learning kind of the art of communicating intuitively and how to say something so somebody can hear it. And if you're an intuitive, and if any of you are doing this work, you have to learn self-constraint. You know, I've seen so many psychics get into trouble because they're so impressed with what they know or don't know that they'll come up to you and they'll blurt it out to you. And it's very intrusive and very inappropriate. And they could say quite serious things. I mean, they could say something like, you have cancer. I mean, I've seen that. It's horrific, the damage that can be done. And people are very vulnerable. You know, and when I wrote my first book, I made the mistake of using the word psychic in the book, as I was kind of naive because I thought people could hear it, and they really can't. I mean, most people cannot hear that word. It is too tarnished a word. Where the media goes with psychic is they go to the psychic phone lines or they go to fortune tellers. It's just an instinctual reaction. I mean, it's so tarnished. And, you know, for those of you who have ever considered calling the psychic phone lines in the middle of the night, you know, no, there are lots of people do it. Don't. Just don't. No, it's a terrible idea because what you're doing is you're putting out the most vulnerable part of you and talking to some stranger and you have no idea how skilled he or she is. I mean, they may be or they may not be. And it's just not a good idea. And what I think is so beautiful about intuition is learning how to trust the self. When you have questions, to learn how to go inside and to know there's something very real in there. It's not as if you're asking nothing. It's not as if you're going inside and there's nothing there.